Christ the Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. And now as we prepare to hear Holy Scripture on this beautiful Sunday morning, I invite you to join me now with our call or our prayer of illumination. Can I borrow your bulletin? In true Pastor Taylor fashion, I have misplaced mine. All right, friends, join me in prayer. God of life and love, we are here this morning to hear the good news of Easter. Cast aside our doubts and fears that we may hear your deep truth of life. Help us listen with expectation and hope. Amen. I might ask to borrow it again. Or y'all can help me find one. Yeah, it's good. We're good. We're good. All is well. Okay. So our first scripture reading comes to us from the epistle to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 56? 54. I'm just going to hold on to it. Okay. So hear now these words. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And now our gospel text come to us from the gospel according to John. I'll read first from the 11th chapter and then from chapter 14. You're welcome to stand in a posture of prayer if you would like, but you're also welcome to remain seated. I'm asking you to do a lot of up and downs today, and that's usually not how we roll around here, but we are good. All right, so hear now these words from the gospel. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then our last comes from the 14th chapter, also from the Gospel of John. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this Easter Sunday, we come to find that the tomb, in fact, was empty, that you have conquered death, and in you we find new life. So as we reflect upon these words, may we hear what you would have us hear this day, that it would stir within us the truth of your hope for us to live a life eternal. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it seems very weird, and I will be quite honest with you, that I would choose these particular scriptures today on Easter Sunday. Because I guarantee that if you would go to any other congregation, chances are you're going to hear one of the accounts of finding that tomb empty. Whether you hear it from Matthew or you hear it from Luke or whichever one that you choose to listen to, it's strange that we would be here. And part of that is why, because we are concluding our sermon series focus on the Apostles' Creed. Where at the very beginning of Lent, I challenged us as a congregation to really reflect on these words that we have said that have been passed on from generation to generation that has formed communities of faith. That we wanted to move past just simple rote telling of the words to actually having them be within our very beings and to understand what they mean. Today, we are focusing on the very last part of the Apostles' Creed that says, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. Hence the selections of Scripture for today. However, I do want to read to you one account of Easter morning. And this is from Luke 24, and this is the Message translation. What I read to you earlier was the New Revised Standard Version. At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices they had prepared. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then, out of nowhere, it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. And the women were awestruck and bowed down in worship. And the men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He is not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up?" Then they remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and broke the news of all of this to the 11 and the rest. And Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles. But the apostles didn't believe a word of it. Thought they were making it all up. But Peter jumped to his feet and ran to the tomb. He stood to look in and saw a few grave clothes, but that's all. He walked away puzzled, shaking his head. Again, the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. So what's beautiful about this is that we hear this one story and how the women went to the tomb because they wanted to finish the preparation of Jesus' body following his death upon the cross. They were not able to do it fully because it was the eve of the Sabbath and they could not do any work on the Sabbath. So they had gone back when they were able to, and it was like ridiculously early in the morning, like before you could even see the first rays of light come upon the horizon. And they get there. Well, what do they find? The tomb is what? Empty. And not only that, but they're standing there, and then they are, you know, awestruck and bedazzled by this messenger, bright lights, and depending on which translation, there might be an earthquake or lightning, and just, I can't even begin to imagine what that experience would have been like, and I'm sure they were trying to figure out what was going on, and then this message, and it didn't necessarily say it here, but it says it elsewhere: do not be afraid. The one that you are looking for is not here. Why are you looking for the one who was alive in a place marked for death? And awestruck by that and puzzled and having it like process in their brains, they run back to tell all of the ones that were closest to Jesus. And what did they do? Did they believe the women? No. It didn't matter how often they told the story. They chose not to believe what the women had to say. But Peter got up and he ran, and what did he find? He found the tomb was empty except for some grave cloths. And he was puzzled too, and he just kind of went back. Now, what's interesting about these two narratives is that when the women were puzzled, they told people of what they saw. Do you hear that? That they bore witness to their experience of finding that tomb empty and the experience of being told that Jesus, in fact, was alive. It put them into action. They were doing something with it. Now, Peter, having gone, he was just as puzzled, right? Because he also was curious by what he found. But what we know about Peter is that Peter and all of the apostles ended up behind locked doors. Did you think about that? They end up behind locked doors. Because they are afraid for their lives and what is going to happen because their Messiah was murdered and now his body is gone. So we have this different story of how we can choose to respond or not respond. And that is where we get to this place of the resurrection of the body. See, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth because there were some in that early church plant that wasn't convinced that bodies once dead could be resurrected. And Paul goes on this excursion to say, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the body, then you don't believe that Jesus was resurrected. And my preaching, therefore, has been for naught. If you don't believe in the resurrection of the body, then why would Jesus have done what Jesus did? Because if you don't believe in the resurrection of the body, then you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You can't believe that Jesus conquered death. That you can't believe that that tomb was empty. You can't believe that God had a plan of salvation for all of our people, for every single person, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the body. So that's really kind of what Paul was talking about. And in preparation for this week, staff and I, we reflected on these passages and preparing, and we were just like, man, if this was the first time I was hearing these words, how weird would it be? Because I talked about perishability and imperishability and mortality and immortality, and for us, it's kind of like, what? That's so weird and hard to comprehend sometimes. So we took a step back, and we kind of reflected on that and just the life and why the cross and why do we come to the cross and why do we wear the cross around our necks? Wasn't that a symbol of where Jesus gave up his life? It was an instrument of torture, and yet we hold on to that as an image of the resurrection of Jesus. Because just as the tomb was empty, we hold to an empty cross. That in that act of giving up his life, Jesus, in fact, took on everything of humanity so that we could have eternal life. Death upon the cross transforms it. And the perspective of life after truly is modeled after how Jesus lived his life. Healing, visiting the sick, healing those who had spirits or ailments, visiting the imprisoned, feeding those who were hungry, clothing those who were without clothes. Jesus' life becomes the model because of the empty cross, because of the empty tomb. And so we may be puzzled by mortality and immortality and imperishability and perishability, but the reality is our earthly bodies eventually will die. We know that. But we stand here on Easter trusting in the resurrection of the body and the promise of eternal life, that we will truly be in the presence of God because of what Jesus did for us. So thanks be to God for an empty tomb. Thanks be to God for an empty cross. Thanks be to God for a love that was shown to all of God's beautiful people through Christ Jesus. And the call for us, that if we truly believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, then our perishable bodies should live in the world following the example of Jesus. So friends, on this Easter Sunday, we celebrate and we leave to live a life different because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Who's with me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.